So the title of today's message as the first Sunday into the year is Going to 2021 and Beyond. So 2020, wow, what words would you describe for 2020? Crazy, hard, sickness, crossroads, disruptive, loss of jobs, economic trials, crumbling democracy, crumbling capitalism, signs of the times, and most of all, loss of life. So 2020 will go down in the history books as a turning point year. However, here we are in 2021, and the message for today is about looking forward, what the Lord has got for us moving forward, and in particular, how does Jesus require us to behave? What are the traits of leaders in society to bring hope into 2021? So we're going to be doing two things today. The first is that we're going to be just taking a quick stock take of 2020 and be able to identify what are some of the signs that have been manifested in 2020 leading towards the end of the age. But then secondly, and most importantly, what we'll be looking at is about bringing hope and a future into 2021 and beyond. From Jeremiah 31, verse 16, this is what the Lord says, sing with joy for Jacob. And by the way, Jeremiah was a prophet that was prophesying to the Israelites while they were in captivity, while they were in exile in Babylon. So this was a message to a nation that was feeling hopeless. They had all sorts of troubles, and yet this is the message which the Lord brought to them. Sing with joy for Jacob. Shout for the foremost of the nations. Make your praises heard and say, Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. For the Lord will deliver Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, and the olive oil, the young of the flocks and herds. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. Then young women will dance and be glad, young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. This is what the Lord says. Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. They will return from the land of the enemy, so there is hope for your descendants, declares the Lord. Your children will return to their own land. So the key message of moving into 2021 is that we have a hope and a future for us in particular as Christians, because we know where we're going. But more than that, we have a task ahead of us where we are called to go to bring this message of good news, of a hope and a future to a world that is fearful, a world that has lost hope in capitalism and has lost hope in the Western society. But we are bringing hope, not some kind of a sort of positive thinking kind of mind hope, but it is a genuine hope of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's primarily what we're going to be talking about today. But before we get there, we're just going to do a quick stock take of 2020 and just provide a bit of understanding as to what are some of the things that have manifested during the last year. So the way I would describe 2020 is that it was a milestone along the journey. And what is the journey? Well, it's the journey of the age that eventually comes towards the end of the age. In other words, this is just one part of the journey leading towards the end of the church age, as what is called in the Bible. The church age is effectively from the day that Jesus rose from the dead until the day that he comes back again. That is the church age. And throughout history, people have always been looking forward to the day that Jesus Christ comes back to take his church back. And in fact, in the first century, I've been reading up quite a lot about church history over the holidays. And in the first century, the church were kind of under the impression that Jesus would return back in their generation, which obviously didn't happen. And a lot of things went by. And as society has moved on, I think probably most generations have thought, well, this is the age that the Lord Jesus is coming back. But that wasn't the case. However, if we now look back over 2020 and some of the things that have happened in the last year or so, we can start connecting the dots and see that that the end of the church age is close. I don't think that we're quite there yet. If you read from the Bible and see some of the things that still need to take place, we're not quite there yet. But the Lord says is that that people will be taken by surprise. So we don't know. In fact, even Jesus Christ doesn't even know the exact date and time that he will return. But we need to be prepared. Just a note that there's the doctrine of the last things, which is called eschatology. So eschatology is the fancy word for the theological the elements of understanding about the doctrine of last things. There's a huge amount of teaching on that, and any amount of information, some good, some bad. I'd encourage you to in your own time to read up about that from good sources. But that's not what I want to do today. I don't want to give a teaching about eschatology. I rather want to give something really practical, which the Lord Jesus has put onto my heart. Now, Jesus spoke quite extensively about the end of the age. In fact, there's 6 chapters in the Gospels alone, which are specifically dedicated to where Jesus speaks about the end of the age. Matthew 24-25. Mark 13, Luke 21, and John 14-15. And there obviously are a whole bunch of other references in the Bible about the end of the age, not in the Gospels, Daniel, 2 Thessalonians, Revelations, etc., etc. So in your own time, go and read some of the more information about the end of the age. But I want to point out 4 things which I observed during 2020, which have revealed something of the ends of the end of the age. They're not the only 4 things. There are lots of other things as well, but these are 4 things which I picked up during the last year. First 2 are lies and lawlessness. The Bible is very clear that at the end of the age there'll be an increase in lies and lawlessness. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians 2. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. In other words, when Paul wrote this to the church in Thessalonica, he could really see that the secret power of lawlessness was beginning to increase. And we can see that through the ages, that's really increasing all the time. And in particular, if you just look back at 2020, the amount of lawlessness, not only in nations where we kind of expect lawlessness, but in nations that have been previously regarded as being examples of godliness, even in those nations, lawlessness has increased. And so 2020 has kind of crossed a bit of a boundary where the extent of lawlessness has just kind of gained momentum. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the liar and all the ways that wickedness deceive those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends him a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. So the first one was lawlessness. The second one was lies. my observation over the last year and maybe a couple of years before that is that we're living within an age of lies. Lies in the world appears to be the norm. People, you kind of have to when you talk in business or in government circles or in political circles, you sometimes sort of have to assume that people are lying and then try and detect what the truth is amongst the lies. And in South Africa, it's just been absolutely shameful. If you just listen to what's coming out of the Zondo Commission over the last year, it's embarrassing. You see some leaders, leaders in our previous leaders in our country, who are just flat out lying. Everything that seems to come out of their mouth just appears to be lying, and your mind just gets kind of bombarded with all of these lies. Jesus has warned us of that. He said that in the end times that lawlessness and liars will become the norm, and we've seen that. Similarly, within some of the nations, some of the Western nations, which have been examples of godliness, that's also been the case. Obviously, in America, what has happened over the last year or so has just been absolutely tragic. I don't have an issue with President Trump and whatever's been going on in America. They must do what they must do, and we must do what we must do. However, whether we like it or not, whatever happens in America sets a trend. Well, certainly in the past, has set a trend. It's set a culture. It has arguably the biggest influence over culture in the world. And so when we have seen and witnessed something of the demise of law and order and godliness and truth in the nation, which has set itself up as being a kind of bastion of godliness in the world, it is such a graphic example, such a graphic icon, which history will look back and say that was the year where lies became the norm out of the governance of that nation, and riots. I mean, they've had the worst riots since the Second World War. The storming of the Capitol 2 weeks ago, or about 10 days ago. I mean, that's just who would ever believe that? Lies of the president. There was a very interesting sort of artwork which was put up in New York City. One of the radio stations had been tracking all the lies coming out of the mouth of the president, and they counted up to 25,000 lies, which they put on this huge big artwork in New York City, and they tracked them. Each color, they put them in colors relating to, the economy and to COVID and et cetera. And this whole, like half a street was covered with small little writing about all of these 25,000 lies. And I thought, well, that is such a graphic, half a street of detailed writing of all of these lies and untruths. And I thought, well, that is such a graphic sort of turning point in the history of man, where lies have become the norm. So the first two sort of signs of the age have been lawlessness and lies. The third one is the beginning of birth pains. In Matthew 24, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. So that's why it's my personal understanding is that we're not there yet. There are wars and rumors of wars and all these things happening, but we're not quite there yet. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. That's from Matthew 24. In Mark 13, it's almost exactly word for word exactly the same. In other words, both Matthew and Mark recorded, and they could recall Jesus' words almost word for word exactly independently. In fact, Mark's gospel was written first, and then only sometime later was Matthew's gospel written. And Matthew probably didn't see Mark's gospel before he wrote it. But yet, both completely independently, they recorded almost word for word exactly. Mark says, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. So we can see some of these birth pains beginning to take place within the world. In Luke 21, verse 11, there will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences. What greater pestilence has happened in recent times? than the COVID-19 in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. By the way, COVID has not been the worst pestilence in world history. There have been much worse in the past. The bubonic plague in Europe wiped out a significant portion of the entire population of Europe. The 1918 Spanish flu, which in fact was probably the origin of COVID, they don't even know how many people died, but they're in the kind of tens of millions. So while it's absolutely tragic as to what's happening now, this is not the first pestilence which has come into the world, and probably not the last one either. In terms of wars that have manifested during the last year, the war between Ethiopia and Sudan, absolutely tragic. They don't even know how many people have died. Somewhere between 140,000 and 250,000 people have been killed in the war between Ethiopia and Sudan. And that will probably escalate, in my view, once the Great Renaissance Dam is built on the Blue Nile. That's a conflict which is just kind of building up between Ethiopia, Sudan, and Egypt, because the Nile will be dammed up. In Ukraine, 13,000 people were killed. And in Mozambique, right on our doorstep, the jihadist forces that have kind of invaded the northern shores of Mozambique, they reckon 2,500 people killed, 500,000 people displaced. So that's right on our doorstep. So these are some of the birth pains. I don't want to focus on them, but I just want to point out to the fact that we cannot be surprised by these things, and there will probably be more, although we're not going to focus on them. Jesus told us that these are the beginning of the birth pains to come. And then the fourth thing, which has also manifested during the course of 2020, is that it says quite explicitly in Matthew 24, then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Now, I don't think that has kind of manifested completely yet. I think that will grow in time. But what's happening in our culture, as you know, is that culture, particularly in the Western culture, people accept any view which is to the left. In other words, anything which is more radical, more promiscuous, more permissive, more kind of modern, etc. Those views are easily accepted, particularly within the leftist press. But any views which are towards the right, in other words, which are more conservative and which are more traditional, in particular views which are of a Christian nature, are kind of shunned. You can say anything of the left, but you can't say anything of the right, and without being kind of branded as a fundamentalist Christian. And people are the culture against Christianity is growing, where people will say, well, you can't say that because it's uncool or it's unpolitically correct, whatever. And in fact, you can, in some cases, depending on the laws, you can even be jailed or fired from your job if you express some of the word of God publicly within a workplace or within a government environment. So those are some of the signs of the manifestation of the end of the age which have appeared in 2020. I don't want to dwell on those, but it's important that we just have a sense of taking stock as to what has happened in 2020. So that's the first half of the message. I want to put that aside and say, well, you know, that's the kind of bad news portion. That's the hard portion. But the more important portion is, well, let's look forward. What about 2021? We're now in 2021. We're now looking into a new era, into a new phase. And what has God got for stock for us in 2021? Very interestingly, Jesus gave some very, very practical examples on how we need to behave. What are the principles that we need to adhere to in moving into the end of the age? And in Matthew's gospel, as well as in John's gospel, he gives three very, very practical parables. And that's why I don't want to go into eschatology, because eschatology is so complex and we get stuck in all the details, or whatever. But let's listen to what Jesus Christ said about how we need to respond into the end of the age, and in particular 2021. So there are three parables which I want to pull out, which you all know very well. But there's a particular kind of common thread which I want to thread through these three parables. First parable is This is the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. And the message which I want you to kind of hear, that as I read the parable, the message I want to hear through it is that we need to take personal responsibility. We need to take personal responsibility. The context of the parable is that the 10 virgins, who in fact are probably in the Hebrew sense are the kind of the younger sisters of the bridegroom and the younger cousins, and they're kind of tasked with ushering in the bridegroom and making the house and the ceremony all pretty and flowers, and if they had perfumes and things, I guess that's what they would have done. So they were there to serve the bridegroom, and this is the parable which Jesus describes. So at that time, which is the end times, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, and in other words, they were surprised. It was a time when they didn't think it was going to happen. At midnight, a very crucial time at night. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." And so they all kind of woke up and sort of had to get their ducks in a row. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." I want to repeat that. The foolish ones said to the wise ones, "Give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Now, the point which I want to bring out of this parable is that Jesus was making the point that that in the end times, we mustn't be surprised, because he's giving us a heads up as to what's happening. But he calls to each one of us that we need to take personal responsibility for that which God has called us to do. The 10 virgins had a very particular task, but similarly, we've also got very particular tasks. And we need to understand what are the tasks that you and I are required to do, and we need to take personal responsibility for that. In other words, in a church environment, we cannot rely on other people who are going to be doing prayer meetings in the hospital, or on the deacons who are going to be doing different things, or elders who are going to be doing different things. Each of us have got a task to do. Jesus has commissioned us to go, and we need to figure out what is it that we need to do. We don't have the luxury of just kind of coasting along and jogging along with the flow. That's what the unwise virgins did, that they were just kind of going along with the flow, and they had their lamps, but they weren't really prepared. They weren't thinking ahead. They weren't proactive. They weren't kind of taking personal responsibility. So that's the first parable, is that we need to take personal responsibility for that which Jesus has called us to do. The second parable, this is the parable of the talents, also found in Matthew 25. And the message from this parable is that we must be bold and not timid. Let me repeat that. We must be bold and not timid. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Jesus has entrusted his wealth to us. He's called us in the last year in our church and Church on the Way to be church on the go. And so he has entrusted very, very precious things to us. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Every one of us have been given different abilities. It actually really does not matter what our abilities are. Some might have more ability, some might have less ability, whatever. Jesus has entrusted us a bag of gold, wealth, in accordance with our abilities. And Jesus is going to judge us according to what did we do with the bag of gold that was in keeping with our abilities. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained five bags more. So also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. But the man who had received only one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more." In other words, this servant, he was bold. He wasn't timid. He was proactive. He probably took a few risks, which were reasonable risks. He probably kind of figured out what's happening in the markets and whatever. And he said, "Well, I'm diligent, and I need to grow the money and grow this wealth, and I need to grow this investment, which his master had given him." And he took that out and he grew it and he doubled it. Similarly, with the man that was given two talents, he also doubled that which God had invested him. But the wicked servant was the guy who took that what God had invested him in, and he dug a hole and put it under the ground. It's almost like he was sitting on his hands. In other words, talking about us sometimes, where we become lazy or we timid or and we're too afraid to actually go out and be bold, and we sort of sit on our hands, and the talents and the gifts and the people that God has given us to bring the gospel to, we kind of sit and wait for everyone else to do it. And the word was very clear. I mean, this is a very hard parable to kind of get to grips with. And the master said, "And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness." And so it wasn't that the servant was evil. He didn't do anything. You know, he didn't murder or steal the money. In fact, he very diligently kept the money. But the parable is saying is that if you don't take the money and grow the money, you'll be called worthless and lazy. Jesus was using the money as the parable. It's not necessarily money, although I think it probably is as well. I think in our financial investments, we also call to be bold and proactive and to grow the money. But what this is probably more speaking about is the harvest which Jesus Christ has given us as a church to go and reap the harvest, to go and bring in all of those sheaves. We need to be proactive and to grow that harvest. So that's the second parable. To be bold and proactive. This is not the time to think back. Be creative. Expand. Do more with less. We cannot rely on someone else. We need to be bold in our businesses. And this is not the time to be timid. We need to be really bold and out there. So that's the second parable. So the first parable was of the 10 virgins was to we need to take personal responsibility. Second parable of the talents is that we need to be bold and not timid. The third and last parable. This is the vine and the branches, this is from John 15. John is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the three synoptic gospels, are absolutely awesome because they are very kind of rational, and they kind of set out, Jesus was born, and it's a very kind of organized gospel. John, on the other hand, is like out of left field. John like comes from a completely different aspect, and this is the parable that John kind of thought that this is the one that he needs to write down into his gospel, and this is the one of the vine and the branches. I won't read it all, but I'll kind of give you the gist of it. And the key here is, in terms of our context, is that we need to bear fruit. That's the key lesson out of this one, is that we need to bear fruit. So I am the true vine, this is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that does not, that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So you can hear, Jesus spoke this right at the end to his disciples, just before he was arrested. So it's kind of the last teaching, as it were, that Jesus gave before he was arrested and then executed. And the thing that he's talking about is being fruitful. He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So what he's saying is that, as I'm sure you all know, that the kind of analogy is that Jesus is the rootstock, and we need to be kind of grafted. I don't know if you know. So I'm not a gardener, but as you know, I understand it that you kind of cut into the rootstock and then you graft the branch into the rootstock, so that the branch receives the sap coming through the rootstock from the ground. And the analogy is that we need to be rooted into Jesus. We need to be grafted into Jesus. So the life of the Holy Spirit that comes through Jesus, and the life that comes up through the soil and all the goodness and nutrients, whatever, that comes through the rootstock, through Jesus Christ into us. And with that, the branch then bears fruit. Exactly the same way, that's how Jesus calls us to be, is that we as a church are called to go. We need to bear fruit. It's not only bear fruit for ourselves and our own businesses and our family and all those things, but we need to go and bear fruit in terms of bringing in this harvest. That's why Jesus spoke to them about this at the end of the age, to say that at the end of the age, there's so much harvest to bring in. We need to be bearing fruit. We need to be proactive. We need to be growing in order to fulfill God's purposes for us. Excuse me. So this is a very, very simple message. So let's just recap that on the parables. So the first one is on the 10 virgins, is that we need to take personal responsibility. The second one on the talents is that we need to grow. We mustn't be timid. We must be bold. And the third one on the vine is that we need to bear fruit. Now, let's put that together and kind of connect the dots. In 2021 and looking beyond, this is the message which Jesus Christ gives us, is that this is not the time to be timid. This is not the time to say, well, there's COVID and there's economic troubles and things are happening in America and, you know, there's Brexit and I don't know, all the things, whatever, that are happening that in a world that is fearful. This is not the time for us to be timid and kind of lacking confidence and bury the talents under the bed. And now's the time for us to stand up, to be bold, to grow, to bear fruit, to take personal responsibility, not just kind of jogging along with the rest of the church. And we need to figure out what is that, what Jesus Christ has given me to do, given you to do, so that we can take up that, so that we can be proactive, bringing life into a world which is scared and which is fearful in this time. So that's what the Lord has put onto my heart for the first service in 2021. I trust that inspires all of us let's grab this 2021 with both hands. Let's take every opportunity that we have. Let's not fall into the trap of kind of chilling out or getting fearful. Let's go and tell others about the good news. Of course, really, there is fantastic things to come. I just one little example. It was a privilege to be able to attend Daniel and Danielle's wedding on YouTube on the 6th of January, and it was such an amazing picture. Is that in these, you know, kind of dark times, and I don't know whether the Dans are listening to this. If you are, I trust that you are really enjoying this time together on honeymoon as well. It is such a picture that Jesus speaks about getting married in these times. You know, it's growth. It's not have children. You know, I'm not talking to you to the dance necessarily, but to all of us, it's a God encourages us to grow in these times. So I hope that you're encouraged that let's go out there and break boundaries and grow and be proactive and be bold and not timid. So bless you all. I'd like to pray with us if you don't mind, and then Brad, we'll hand over to you. Lord Jesus, I thank you that That you spoke so much about the end times, and Lord Jesus, that you were so practical in how you spoke about the end times, and that you gave us very clear principles and guidance on how we should behave in these times. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that these three principles of taking responsibility, growing, being bold, and bearing fruit, Lord Jesus, I pray that Holy Spirit, that you will inculcate these principles into us, and there will just be growth in every single person that is in this church, Lord, and in our communities and in wider church, Lord, even in South Africa. Lord, I pray that you bless these incredible people, Lord, who are dedicated to you, Lord God, who are sincere, who are authentic. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you bless them, Lord God. Bless us, Lord Jesus, as we go out and we are bold and proactive, Lord. I pray that you'll grow us in every way, Lord. Whatever talents you've given us, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to multiply the bounty from those talents which you've given us, Lord. We pray for your protection over us, Lord, Lord, against this terrible COVID, Lord, and all the other things. We pray for your protection, Lord Jesus. Lord, we know that we're not immune just because we're Christians, but Lord Jesus, we trust in you because you are our Savior, Lord. You're the one that has promised health and vitality, Lord. And so, Lord, we pray for your protection. And Lord, those who are sick, I think particularly of Doc, Lord, who was in ICU and is now recovering, I pray, Lord God, that you'd just bring a full and total recovery to him, Lord. And anyone else, Lord, that not aware of, Lord, who have been sick, and those who have lost loved ones, Lord, the four people, I just want to perhaps mention them. We didn't mention them all by name, but we have lost four loved ones during the past 6 weeks or so. Rowena Kerr, Sheila von Rensburg, Chris Momberg, and also Graham Gabriel. So we just reach out, Lord Jesus, to their families and Lord, their loved ones, Lord, that even now, Lord, as they mourn, that yet you will bring joy and gladness to them. In your almighty name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.